Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 12th chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 41 through 44. It's not the lectionary reading for this week. It's a verse I chose because it is Commitment Sunday. I'm not going to really talk about these verses, but let me just highlight something before I read these. They're often used at a time of financial commitment. It's the widow's mite, as the story is often called. And again, it just reminds us that in our tradition, we believe in proportional giving. You know, those who have more, give more. Those who have less, give less. But it's equivalent in portion size. So we just celebrate that, and we thank you for all your gifts and all the different types of gifts you give to this community. So having said that, hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting in money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. You've heard me say it a bunch of times already. You heard me say it last week. Today is Commitment Sunday. So if you're here for the first time, I apologize. We do not expect a commitment from you, but we love having you here. And we're talking about some things that no matter what community you're part of, it's important to hear these words. Commitment Sunday here means that in just a few minutes during our closing hymn, as we sing that closing hymn, those who wish to do so are invited to walk up during the hymn and place their commitment cards in that basket, which is inside the chancel area as you approach the altar. And this, when you do this, this will be a sign act that as you come forward, that you're signifying your commitment to the ministries of Christ that are occurring in this community at Pleasant Grove, through this community, I should say, not just in this community. Individually, what we are saying is that at this point, at this particular point in my faith journey, this is where I'm going to live out my faith commitment through the community called Pleasant Grove. This is where God is going to use me to transform the world into a better place. You know, this is where God's going to use me to reveal the kingdom of God. That's big. This is a very big moment in the life of this community of faith. In essence, we are saying that here is my stake in this ministry. Again, it's proportional. Use these gifts to complete the ministry to which we have been called as a people called Pleasant Grove. Now, most of you know, if you've been around here at any significant amount of time, I find Franciscan monk and contemplative Father Richard Rohr to be inspiring. He inspires me. He's written a whole slew of books, and I've read and reread them across the years. And one of his early books is entitled Everything Belongs. I just love the title. Everything Belongs. There are no outsiders. All right? And in that book, he says these words, and just think through this. The spiritual world is hidden and perfectly revealed in the physical world. All right? That's why Jesus is so important. He makes visible the hiding place of God. That's beautiful. Jesus makes visible the hiding place of God. All right. Having said that, follow the logic out with me, and if you embrace that idea, then we, the church, the body of Christ, then Richard Rohr's words are descriptive of us, you know, and lays out our task. You, we, make visible the hiding place of God. People want to see God, they look at this community. Or they don't. All right. Many years ago, Paul Nixon, who I think Paul Nixon must be a sociologist of religion, but in a book that was written about the time I came here to Pleasant Grove, it is entitled Fling Open the Doors, Giving the Church Away to the Community. And I never forget that book. I go to it time and time again. It's a bit outdated in many ways, but there's something that words that he used at the outset of his book that always stir me. Here's what he says. For the church, okay, to make a real difference in the life of a community, it must truly believe that it has something to offer the world that it cannot live without. What do we have that the world cannot live without? The church, to make a real difference in the life of a community, it must truly believe it has something to offer the world it cannot live without. Is that compassion? Is that hope? Is that forgiveness? Is that inclusion? What is that? Okay, but there's more. Okay? Let me read the sentence that precedes that quote. The church must have a sense of purpose and good news, enabling it to lead constructively in the renewal of people's lives. Okay, we have a mission. We have a mission and a purpose, and it's a very simple one. It's a very simple one. Our mission, our reason for existing here at Pleasant Grove is to be who we are. That's okay. All right. We're called to be who we are. How hard could that be? We're the body of Christ. Well, evidently, it's incredibly hard to do that. It's incredibly hard to be yourself, isn't it? Because most of our lives, we spend time being what everybody else wants us to be. That's what we end up doing. Continuously, we're bombarded by the message that we're somehow incomplete, just the way we are. That we're not who we need to be. That we need to change. That we need to be better, be younger, better looking, wealthier, have better stuff, right? The problem is, this message sinks in and takes hold of us. So we try to change. We try to buy the right products, wear the right clothing. We try to hang out with the right people and, you know, just go to the right places, okay? And for many of us, it works for a while. But then someday, we just settle down for a minute and we're just sitting with ourselves. And all of a sudden, we begin to realize that the pieces don't all quite fit together. We don't have that peace in our souls that we need and we want so desperately. In essence, we can't find ourselves. Now, people try to put you at ease and they'll say, you know, just be yourself. It's not a big deal. Friends, that's what our mission's all about. Being ourselves. Figuring it out and then living true to yourself. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And that gives us a sense of purpose and good news that enables us to live constructively in renewal of people's lives. Why? Why does that matter, leading constructively in the renewal of lives? Because the church, we believe that we have something to offer the world cannot live without. All right. Extending the community known as the kingdom of God, however you understand that, drives us. We don't have all the answers in this place. Far from it. If you want answers, I'm sure there are plenty of churches that will give you the answers. And I've got their addresses. See me after church, I will tell you where they are. They'll tell you exactly the way it is, this or this. No gray area. We got lots of gray. Sorry. We don't have a lot of gray here. Okay, I'm not going to say it. All right, anyway. Here we have questions. Here we have questions. Here we struggle to figure out what life is all about. And at some very basic and fundamental level, and then we struggle together to figure it out, okay? To use Paul Nixon's imagery, our vision and our goal is to fling open the doors and give this community away to the community, to everybody. Again, today's Commitment Sunday. So today, I am inviting you to join us in continuing to pursue this vision. You know, you do this, we do this, as we make a commitment of our time, our talents, and our gifts to the ministry of the church, the ministries of Christ in this place. When we come forward and we lay these cards in the basket. And I said last week, I think it was, Bishop Robert Schnazy, in his book, Five Characteristics of Fruitful Congregations, he says that any body of Christ that is an effective expression of Christ is characterized by extravagant generosity in everything it does. What you say, what you do. In other words, in an attempt to respond to the grace of God for the gift of our lives, the follower of Christ lives out thanksgiving through a life of generosity. We know people, generous-spirited people, are amazing. Disciples give themselves away. And through such an act, they find life. It's counterintuitive. When we live generously, we receive so much. Speak to someone. Stop and say, how are you doing? And it's amazing the response you will get. It's usually stunning for folks. Extravagant generosity springs forth from a wellspring of hope that maintains the belief that the sacred that grounds our lives as human beings calls us into community in which we share our abundance. Okay? It fosters a generous spirit within us that permeates our life. It's a sharing of our resources. We share them, right? Not out of guilt. If you give to this church out of a sense of guilt, don't give. Do not give out of a sense of duress. Do not give out of a sense of spiritual extortion. No. Give because you have a heart filled with grace that knows that life is relational. And it finds its source in God. Okay. One of the joys of being at Pleasant Grove now for almost 29 years, 28 and 11, 12, 10, Bob, you do the math. Okay. Is gathered up in the words of the prophet Isaiah, words that we've lived out time and time again here across the last three decades. Words that I want you, that we're trying to live together into again now. And these are these words. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Friends, a new day, a new season is dawning. We all know that. It's dawning in this world. It's dawning in this community. Do you not perceive it? And if you do, the question then becomes, what new and life-giving things are going to spring forth through our hands in the days ahead? You know, how will we, you and I, make visible the hiding place of God? That simple. That simple. And that's big. So friends, your church needs you. It needs you to help us answer that question. Thanks be to God. Amen.